Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
And you can join this conversation, 1-800-859-0957. Or, of course, thegardeningshow.com. And if you've emailed me, down at the bottom of the page of The Gardening Show, there is a form that you can fill out to email me. Mike in Livonia, Bill in Highland, Mary in Farmington Hills, Deborah in Windsor. I will try to get to your emails today. I'm sorry I cannot return emails directly, but we'll get to you on the air as soon as I can. And I have very special thanks to Larry and Hamtramck emailing me about we have an issue with podcasts. It will get fixed, Larry. I appreciate that. He emailed me. They're not up there. We had, I have no idea what we had. Talk to an engineer. I'm not an engineer. Anyhow, we'll get that fixed. So if you're looking for the podcast after July 19th, probably about the middle of the week or so, once we get some technical issues resolved. But I don't have any technical issues right now, at least I hope not, with the phone lines. 1-800-859-0957. And we do have a couple lines open, so if this is your first time to call, or please give us a call. It's always fun. And I don't bite too much, not usually. A couple of things, though, we need to think about. And I don't know what happened to summer. I think I missed it, but it's mid-August, which means now we got to start thinking about September, because if your lawn's been a problem all summer, as mine has, I'm thinking seriously about lawn renovation, which means now's the time I've got to start doing some things, one of which I got to get a soil test, because it takes 2 to 3 weeks to get back. And this is a good time to do that. The lab isn't terribly busy, but that still means that there's some turnaround time. So a soil test is appropriate, because typically I'm going to make some chemistry changes. I just need to check on my fertility program, lime, who knows. The only way I can tell is a soil test. And if I am going to renovate areas, I have to kill the grass, any remaining grass and the weeds in that area now. Because what the process is that you use something like glyphosate, and it kills everything off, but there will be seeds that germinate back. You may have missed a spot or two. So you wait another 2 weeks, and then you spray again, and then you start in with the tilling and whatever thing you need to do. And the last thing is, and this is really irritating, and I'm sorry I'm going to get on a personal thing here. By the end of Labor Day, all of a sudden, all the fertilizers, all the herbicides, all the things that I want to buy from the big box stores where I get some of my stuff, it turns into Halloween and everything goes. So if you're planning on doing some of this, now is the time. Certainly if you've got a weed issue or something like that, the herbicides, I don't know what they do with them, but they are gone. So it's going to be a busy 2 weeks. Maybe we can figure out where summer went. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Nancy in Bloomfield. Nancy, welcome to The Gardening Show.
Yes, hi, Dean. My problem is with petunias.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a novice gardener, but this is the first year that I haven't had good luck with them.
Okay.
And there are two things that are going on. First of all, it seems like pest is getting there. I think that it's chipmunks, and they sort of dig them up, and then I've tried to replant.
Right.
But it seems like their root system is disturbed, and they die.
Okay. It could be. Actually, chipmunks are always a possibility. My first thought would be something like a possum or a raccoon. But could be. Try some of the repellents. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. You try several of them. I would try the ones in the granules first, and there are several brands. Bonide is a very valued sponsor of The Gardening Show over the years. They make an excellent, there are two or three of those. Other companies also make them. And it's sort of like you just keep trying things until you find the one they don't like. I prefer the granules just because it's easier to handle, but some people prefer the sprays. It's sort of up to you. But that would be the approach I would take. Now, sometimes if they're digging the plants up, that's one. If they're just, and this is weird, but if you have petunias especially, rabbits like purple petunia flowers. Don't ask me why, but over the years, any time that I see somebody says, I can't grow purple petunias, it's almost 99% of the time the rabbits are in there. But that isn't exactly what you're seeing. So I think chipmunks, yeah, that's very possible. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, you had a second question then with your petunias.
Yes. And the other one is, on some of the other ones that still look pretty healthy, the leaves are turning black. And I've noticed that even some of the blooms, it mm-hmm. looks like there's a little bud there. And that's turning black
yep.
or dark gray or something like that.
No.
And I had never seen that before.
Well, a couple of possibilities. When you say, now, petunias are sticky anyhow. If you touch them, you know, that's just normal. But if you touch these ones, especially the ones where you say the leaves are turning black, is that really sticky? Have you tried touching them by any chance?
Well, not really, but I have not these particular ones.
Okay.
But in the past, I've noticed that some of the stems and, are sticky.
What they do, yeah, well, petunias are, but this is really sticky. What you may be dealing with, and it's an aphid infestation, and what you have is that the exudate from the aphid has a lot of sugars in it, and then a fungus feeds on that, and it gets really, really sticky, and it turns black. And the problem is not the fungus. The problem is the aphid that is causing the issue. And what you need to do is start looking, and they will be feeding on the top of the plant, not right at the buds, but about two leaves down. And you'll start seeing them on the stems. And, Nancy, can you stay on the line a little bit? Rich, my engineer's telling me I need to break for a few minutes. If you can stay on the line, let's talk a little bit more about a couple other possibilities other people may have. And Marie in Detroit, you're up next. So stay tuned. The Gardening Show will be right back. But I've got a line open. If you'd like to join our conversation, 1-800-859-0957.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Oh, welcome back. And 1-800-859-0957. Before I go back to Nancy and her question about her petunias, I'd like to thank Rich Luzinski, who is our engineer today, and Annie Nichols is our producer. Thank you both again. As always, I could not do this show without you. Let me give you a phone number again. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go back to Nancy in Bloomfield. Nancy, thank you for being so patient with me. There is another issue that could be here if, and I kind of, when you look for aphids, they can be on the buds. And I should have mentioned that previously before we went to break. But typically they're two, as I said, two leaves down. The other possibility is that, on the flowers that aren't opening up, it's called a disease called botrytis. And it's a naturally occurring fungus, and it's really active and aggressive under cool, wet weather. And we've been really having that lately. So the only cure for that, well, there is no cure. You could spray, and it's really, it'll work, but I'm not sure I recommend it. You might want to do a little clipping back on some of these plants and get some new fresh growth, because that will overcome the botrytis issue. Try to not water during the evening hours. Make sure the foliage is dry if you have to water, and it's dry out there right now. And lastly, a little bit of fertilizer. Many of the plants, especially petunias, are getting a little bit hungry right now, and that will increase growth and reduce the problem with this the botrytis. Does that help? Okay, I hope so. I think we lost her, but anyway. 1-800-859-0957. And as I said, down at the bottom of the website, thegardeningshow.com, we have a place where you can email me. And let's go to that real quickly as we're waiting for things to the lines to fill up. Mike in Livonia emailed me and asked, he has a couple of spruces that are getting too big. Can they be pruned? Yes, they can. You do it in the spring, and what you do is that what's called a candle, the little, as the new bud elongates in the spring, you can trim that. The problem I've got, Mike, is that you got to be, if you're not careful, they're going to start looking like a Christmas tree. And if they're really overgrowing it, it's very difficult to cut them back and hold them back that much. If they're not too big, I would seriously consider moving them. Having a crew come in and moving them and put a dwarf in that or a smaller plant, they're just outgrowing their space. And it just depends on the size. Or just instead of moving them, take them out and replace them with a smaller plant. Pruning a blue spruce is not an easy thing to do. And so, and usually not very, you lose the shape. And that's one of the things besides the blue color that they're known for. So, Mike, I think you might want to consider it a new plant. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Marie in Detroit. Marie, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Well, I have a problem with my calla lilies. I dig them up every year because I plant them in pots.
Sure.
And I replace with good soil. I use bulb food. And all I'm getting are leaves.
Okay.
No flowers.
Okay. How old are the bulbs?
2 years.
They should be just fine then. Shouldn't be a problem. When you repotted them, there wasn't any indication that they had, they were firm. There were no odors that were unusual and nothing unusual when you looked at them when you repotted them.
No, nice firm bulbs.
Okay. Now, are they out? Are they in? Where are you growing them? Are they outside?
Yes.
Okay. Are they in a pot small enough that you can knock them out and take a look at the root system without destroying the plant, do you think?
I have one in a long pot where I planted several.
Okay, that would be difficult. Do you have a single one by any chance that it would be in a smaller pot?
I may have a single one.
Well, the reason I'm asking that is that sometimes one of an indication of root problems, like root rots, is that you don't get a bloom. Are they healthy otherwise? Do they look like you would expect?
Oh, the leaves look beautiful. Nice, big, healthy stems, leaves.
Okay. Two things. One of which is, are you fertilizing them?
Not continually.
Okay, I would stop. One of the symptoms that you're saying is that this sounds almost like it's, they're not growing very rapidly, and we'll talk about that in a second. And when you do that, they don't need as much fertilizer. So if you're kind of in a rhythm of fertilizing, you might want to stop. It might be too much fertilizer. And interestingly enough, too much fertilizer is sort of like not enough. They don't flower.
Yeah.
Okay. Plants flower and develop according to the 24-hour average temperature. All right?
All right.
So, and that determines it. So we're... And if you remember back early, I don't know when you put your plants out, but early in the spring, we were running quite cold, much below normal. And plants took a long time to get, they just didn't move because the 24-hour average temperature was too low. Now we've had a little bit more warm weather, but not much. So we've kind of got back to what we call average.
Uh-huh.
But the plants haven't caught up yet in many cases. And I've got some... I'm just waiting on some gladiolas that a friend of mine gave me, and they're just sitting there right now. The same issue, that they just are catching up. And I think if everything else looks good and you stop the fertilizer, I think we need to be a bit patient. And hopefully it might get a little warmer. I think many plants are just waiting. They're just they're not developed yet, I hope.
The problem I'm having with calla lily is it'll start making the bloom.
Right.
And then it doesn't bloom. The seed inside gets real big, and the flower never opens.
Interesting.
It's really weird. I thought, what happened to this? You know, and I thought maybe it was just this one.
Right.
I'm finding several now. Now, is that too much fertilizer also?
Wouldn't
too much water?
It's almost like the temperatures type of thing.
Okay. All right.
But, I have not, to be very honest with you, Marie, that's a new one. I have not bumped into that. And if anybody out there has seen those symptoms before and has an explanation, I would be very interested if you could call me and let both of us know, because that one is kind of strange.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. And there are, when I've dug, some of them I've planted in beds.
Right.
I've done most of those out, and sometimes I miss a couple.
Sure.
But they're real close to the house. And they've done extremely well. No problems, nice flowers, but they're right next to the house.
Well, it may be, again, this temperature issue, because next to the house, they're warmer.
Yeah.
So I'm betting that. Now, there's a couple of other possible explanations that come to mind, but they would be rare. So, Marie, I think let's just see what happens.
Okay.
And again, I please, all the listeners out there, 1-800-859-0957. The great thing about this show, we've got people that really know great things out there, and they share. So that'd be a good opportunity if you run into something like this.
Well, question. The problem you answered with the lady before with the, I don't know.
The aphids or whatever was happening to her petunias, right, the bracken.
Mm-hmm. Does that happen to roses, too?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes.
And that's what I've got.
Well,
my
the other... The
nice
other there's
big, a, but it looks like somebody's been eating at them and they don't open up.
Well, if it's been eating at them right now, it's Japanese beetle.
Aha, uh-huh. And I have those.
Yeah, and they will gnaw into the buds. They hit the leaves first and then they go after the bud.
Is there anything I can spray them with?
Yeah, any of the repellents, but it's almost too late. They're almost done. They'll be out for another 2 to 3 weeks and then they're going to go away. So if they're not... I'm just waiting. I was clipping some of my roses back last night, and new shoots are coming, and they'll be fine in September. And the rest of them, I'm just letting them go. It's kind of a waste of time and cause right now. Okay.
I'm surprised they even eat the hibiscus.
They'll hit the flowers.
Yeah,
yep.
That's where they're at.
Yeah, I understand. And this year, they said in a lot of areas they're not very bad. Around here, at least where I live and other parts of Metro, they're bad. So it's a high population this year.
Yep.
So a lot of damage. Thank you, Marie. Let's see if anybody can help with your issue with the things. 1-800-859-0957. I've got some lines open. We're going to go to a break, but that means I'll be right back in a few minutes. Also, you can take a look at thegardeningshow.com. I always update this information there about the middle of the week. Nicole does a great job of doing that, so we've got lots of links and things for information. And we're going to get the podcast fixed as soon as we can figure out the technical issue. So if you missed a show or wanted to go back and hear what I said and say I can't believe he said that, I probably did. 1-800-859-0957.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 or thegardeningshow.com. Before we go back to the lines, and Judy, you're going to be up next. The Master Gardeners of Wayne County are co-sponsoring with Ray Hunter at the Garden Center downriver a tomato fest on August the 23rd. And next week we're going to have more information on details. But this is going to be fun. They're promoting heirloom vegetables, especially tomatoes. There are going to be prizes for best tasting, largest tomato, et cetera, et cetera. They'll be making salsa and juicing and all kinds of great stuff. That is the 23rd at Ray Hunter Garden Center in the Downriver area. And again, next week we'll have all the details because one of the Master Gardeners will be our guest. So that's going to be fun. Let's go to Judy in Franklin, and then Joan in Wolverine Lake, you're up next, and Diane in Grosse Pointe, stay on the line. You're coming up soon. Judy, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hi, Dean. Thanks. I just heard you say something about that there wouldn't be aphids now. I just had a...
Oh, there would be. Yeah, they're out there. I didn't say there wouldn't be. I hope I didn't misspoke.
Oh,
because they're
sorry.
All over.
What'd you say?
No, they are all over the place right now.
Oh, yeah, that's what... Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I may have misspoken. If I did, I'm glad you caught that. But
I don't know if... Okay, well, yeah, I had a really healthy crop 2 days ago.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though. Again, we were talking about how plants develop according to temperature. Insects are the same way. And if you're usually you kind of get in a rhythm over the years to know when to expect certain things,
right.
I'm off. This year, I'm just, wait a minute, what happened? And so it's one of those years.
It's not normal for them now, right?
They typically it's earlier. And the reason is, well, the way the life cycle is, but they prefer to feed on lush growing tissue. In other words, tissue that hasn't matured. And if you think about a normal August when it's 90 degrees outside and we're all sweating like you wouldn't believe, nothing's growing.
It wouldn't be happening, right?
Yeah, we're kind of just hanging on till September when it cools off. Then you get another batch of aphids.
So, anyhow. Yeah, and I've got new growth on the roses, and that's exactly what they
do. They're there.
Yeah. Well,
okay, what's going on with your black-eyed Susans?
I've kind of never known. I just know that they're... talked to the gardener guy that takes care of the house next door, and he said when he showed me on, they had some in their flower bed there, and he said that black spot on the leaves, all over the leaves, is from snails. I said, really? Because that's what happens, and it seems to trash this one plant or grouping of them for the whole year for me.
No.
It's not
in my opinion. Now, I'm not arguing because he's standing there looking at it.
pulled a snail out, too.
Well, I'm not saying that slugs wouldn't be there. This has been a fantastic year for slugs because it's cool and wet. And again, that's just ideal for those guys.
Okay.
There, if you're thinking about, and let me describe something and see. It usually starts on the lower leaves, not right on the ground, but a little bit above that. And it's sort of a brown, purplish spot. You get a few, and then they kind of, there's a whole bunch, and then it kind of moves up the plant. Is that what you're seeing?
Does seem, well, yeah. Well, I don't know if it's purple, but it's certainly very dark. And what I have done, which usually works on anything, they don't make it anymore, but I have tried Rose Pride left and right, and it doesn't do anything.
If it's what I'm thinking of, that's not slug damage. Slug damage is a hole or a streak. The tissue is gone. They have a rasping mouth part, like a wood rasp, so they scrape the surface, and they can cut holes.
Not so sure there's not holes.
They may be, but yeah. What you're describing and what I just described is a fungal disease.
Well, Rose Pride should work on that, then.
I have no idea what Rose Pride is.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Systemic insecticide and fungicide.
Probably not. Probably not.
Mm.
Now, let me on the website, and it's gardeningshow.com. Check after Wednesday. Nicole does a beautiful job with the website, but I'm a little bit slow on getting stuff to her once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we update. Let me look up that fungal disease and see if that's what you got. Because if it is, it's probably the material that you're going to think about will work is chlorothalonil, which is the run-of-the-mill, or been around forever, foliar spray that we use for everything.
Can I get it already mixed up?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I've never seen it in a, ready to spray, but usually it's just, a tablespoon per gallon, et cetera, and you spray it on.
Oh.
Don't do anything yet. Okay, check what we've got. And how bad is the disease this year? Is it really bad?
That one clump, it's done me in every three, I just
all
put
right.
this thing there.
If it's really bad, this material is a protectant. So once the disease is there, it doesn't kill it, it just prevents it from spreading. So if the whole plant's involved, you're wasting your time.
It is.
Okay,
yeah.
Don't worry about it then, but take a look at this and see if it isn't the fungal disease. Now, here's the thing on slugs, and I'm not arguing slugs are everywhere this year. And here's the story. This is true. My wife grows lilies, some of the giant ones, and the stems are over 6 feet tall.
Whoa.
She cut one, bring in, not the whole stem, but the flowers on to bring in the house,
right.
Walked in, and then I got, look what's in the flower. It was a slug, 6 feet above the ground. I could never believe it. Ugh. Anyway.
Oh,
back to slugs.
Well, now, these are, you call snails and slugs the same thing?
Well, one thing, I'm not going to do the escargot joke, but yeah, they're related.
Okay.
Anyhow, here's the trick. You need some aluminum pie pans or something like that, disposable, and some cheap beer. Do not buy the artesian stuff. That'd be so terrible. What you do is you take the mulch away and sink the pie pan or the pie end, whatever you're using, into the soil a little bit around the plant, just so it's about soil level.
Yeah.
Fill it full of beer, and then put a piece of paper or something over a newspaper just to keep it covered and keep the birds out of it.
Oh.
Check it out the next day, and I'll bet you'll find a whole bunch of slugs.
Mm-hmm.
They die happily. You don't
have, right.
They're not worried. But they're attracted to some of the volatile materials in the beer, and then the alcohol kills them. And that's not a bad control method. If you get a high population, if you do that often enough, you can really reduce the population.
Say the name of that insect or fungicide.
Chlorothalonil. But check, wait until you see the website first, okay?
Yeah. I wondered a Cleome question real quick. Have you?
Real quick. I've got six other lines going
on. Oh,
right
I'm sorry.
Now.
Just for the fact that it reseeds itself,
Yeah,
scatters all. Does the mature plant ever die then?
Some years, yeah. Some years not.
Okay, not necessarily every other year, though?
Not necessarily. Well, is it a biennial?
Does that mean it's dead in 2 years?
Yeah, every other year.
Okay.
Boy, I think it is.
Okay.
I think it is now that you mention it.
Okay.
There's so darn many of them. I got a bed of the things, and they just keep coming, so I don't pay any attention.
Yes, okay.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, thank you.
Check the website on this. What you're describing is that fungal disease, and I just can't think of which one it is right at the moment.
Does it winter over?
Yes. So one of the things would be to, when you, the plant in the fall, you cut all that back and destroy it, not mulch the, you put it in the garbage can.
Uh-huh.
Get it off the property. That will help.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Joan in Wolverine Lake, and then Diane in Grosse Pointe, you're up next. So, Joan, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call, Dean.
Yes, ma'am.
Quick two questions, if I may.
Sure.
My non-blooming hydrangeas, I have maybe two blooming out of, say, 15 plants. This has been going on for 2 years now.
Okay, what and type I'm, are they? Do you?
I have all kinds of varieties.
Hmm.
I have variegated, I have solids, I have multi-change colored ones.
But the describe the flower shapes for me.
The pink one that's in bloom now, they're a large flat.
Okay, so you've got the mop tops, and then do you have the round, the ball type?
Yes.
Yeah, you have both. Okay.
Yes.
The reason I ask that is that the pruning on these, if you're doing any pruning, is different depending on which one. And a lot of people don't know that, and then they prune the buds off. So I don't know. Are you pruning them at all?
I'm not pruning them at all until today, as a matter of fact, where a couple stems were hanging over the sidewalk.
Well, yeah,
and I
you have to
stems
do that.
Off.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
Exactly.
I don't prune my lemon.
No, I don't. That's not pruning. Well, that's just cleaning them up a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay. Lots of reasons. Typically, to be honest with you, there's two possibilities. You're over fertilizing them. Or there's not enough light, or the combination of the two. Or the third one would be that they're winter killing. The flower buds are much more sensitive to the temperatures and especially desiccation, drying out, than the leaf buds are. And it happens, I don't know, which side of the house are they on?
They're all around. I have all four
all
sides.
All right around. So
yeah.
I don't know if you can spot that, you know, one side of the house works and one side doesn't. So that tells you immediately what's going on. But that doesn't sound like it is. Usually, when your symptoms, I say, goes back to too much fertilizer, they're just too happy, and not enough light. And that may be something, I don't know how, you know, you can tell that a little bit on the pattern, too.
Right.
I'm going to put up a website that I put up before, but it's really good. It's the Hydrangea Society.
Oh, great.
And they're cool. They've got every, those are the people I go to for information. So check my website, thegardeningshow.com, and middle of the week, and that will be up there. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, time means, boy, where does the time go? We'll be back real quickly. Diane in Grosse Pointe and Tim in Shelby Township, stay on the line. I haven't forgotten you. And I will get to the emails, but I've got one more call or two, 1-800-859-0957, or, of course, thegardeningshow.com. I'll be right back.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
Welcome back to this segment of the Gardening Show. And as I said, thegardeningshow.com, you can email me. And Bill in Highland has 3-foot diameter dark green circles of grass growing. Grass looks good, except it's just really nice and dark and green. And the comment is, I wish the rest of the lawn could look that good. It's called fairy ring, Bill. And it is a fungus that's working on the organic matter in the soil, doesn't harm the grass, and it releases nitrogen in where the area which is working, and that means the grass above their area gets green. So what it means is you need to fertilize your grass a little bit more. So we're coming up to the time of year if you're on a 4-step program. In other words, 4 times a year, right at Labor Day is when we fertilize, so I wouldn't worry about it. If you're not, if you're like I am, where I fertilize twice a year, late in the fall and then in May or June, probably about a half pound of nitrogen, actual nitrogen per 1,000 square feet, will, what you're doing is just masking the green. All the rest of the grass gets green. You can't see the rings. So it's nothing that I would recommend, a fungicide or anything like that. It's just, it's not harming the grass. It looks kind of weird. So you do need, grass is telling you, you do need a little more fertilizer there, Bill. Marion Farmington asked about, she can't plant some heirloom dahlia bulbs because of a health issue. She wasn't able to plant, or a friend wasn't. Can you put them in a basement now, and will they survive? Mary, the problem is twofold with this, one of which is the temperatures have to be about 45 to 50 so the plant doesn't run out of food reserves. In other words, it doesn't starve to death before next spring. And the other danger is that they're going to dry out. So if you're going to try this, keep them, if you can, between 45 and 50 out of an area around a furnace or any place where there's fumes from a car or anything like that. Well, that'll damage the bulbs. And then keep them slightly moist. And the way I do, if you can get some good peat moss, sphagnum moss is ideal. Actually, just a regular good high-grade media works great. And you put just enough water in it that when you squeeze it, one drop comes out. And that's pretty, you know, that's about 50% moisture. And that will keep them for a very long time. So I'm sorry to hear of your friend's health issues, and I hope this works. She's going to lose some. The bulbs just don't, that's not what they work at, but hopefully that will help. So let's go to back to the lines. Let's go to Diane in Grosse Pointe. Tim in Shelby Township, Mark in Westland, and Renee in Sterling Heights. If I don't get to talk to you on the air, please stay on the line. I'll talk to you after the end of the show. Diane, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Thank you so much. Dean, I have an old privet hedge.
Okay.
It was late to leaf out,
yes.
And only about three-quarters of it leafed out.
Right.
Do I cut it back this fall or wait till next spring and see what happens?
I am suggesting waiting till next spring, especially now. The reason right now, Diane, I'm really concerned is that if we do heavy pruning now, we may get some nice grow back. I would hope so. But that tissue or that new shoot is going to be very, very, it's not hardened off at all. And we could get an early freeze. And then you think about the damage that they endured over last winter and then get that early freeze again and damage all these new shoots. I'm not willing to go to that risk. I would rather wait, prune out all the dead stuff and, you know, all that, shape it a little bit. You know, if you got a wild one out someplace that obviously is going to have to be cut back.
Okay.
And then let's just wait and see next spring and then start rebuilding it. Maybe I'm overly cautious, but I just think the risks are higher than the benefits right now.
Okay.
Okay?
I will do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Tim in Shelby Township. Tim, welcome to the Gardening Show. Whoops, I'm sorry. Tim, you're up next. There we go. I pressed the wrong button. You never allow a host on a radio show to press a button. Tim, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a problem with moles this year.
Oh, boy.
I think I've had them before, but I just planted a bunch of new, instead of a regular garden on the ground, I put them in boxes.
Sure.
I got probably a dozen, some of them 6 or 8 feet long and 4 feet wide or whatever. But
right.
The one mistake I did was not putting some kind of a wire underneath them because they've been popping up under, you know.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
But I want to know what to do because the area is on one side is a lake and the other side is trees that have been there for.
Okay.
And then the area is probably 50 feet by 100 feet that they just have a racetrack down there.
There's one possibility. Tim, and I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to insult you, is it? The other possibility is something like chipmunks or ground squirrels. But you would see the hole on top. With a mole, you wouldn't see the hole, you just see the tunnel.
They're just tunnels. I'm pretty sure they're moles or whatever.
I didn't mean to be rude, but
well,
sometimes it's hard
there's
to tell.
They're around, but,
yeah.
You know, they're just.
Okay.
There was a few I stabbed them with a pitchfork and thought they were gone, and then now they're. Over half my lawn in the backyard.
Yeah. Two possibilities. The best one is still the traps, to be very honest with you. But with that raised bed that you've got, the trap may not work well. The other material out there is I'm drawing a blank on the active ingredient. I hate this formulation, but they made it look like an earthworm. You can find them in any of the garden centers. And I'm just drawing a blank.
Them in there.
Yeah, now follow the directions carefully. Don't ever touch the baits with your bare hands. Use your plastic disposable gloves because the oil in your hand is a repellent. And make sure that your neighbor's dog or the cat can't get into it.
Well, I'm I have the dog myself, and I'll just have to keep them away from it.
Right. Well, you can put a cover over where you put it, too, so they can't get at it. Those are very – it actually does work quite well. I still would try the traps in the your yard.
Where can you buy the traps?
Any garden center and a lot of hardware stores. If you got a good old-fashioned hardware store, Ace Hardware usually carries them if you're near an Ace. I know that.
Yeah, right there by DeQuinter and 59.
I know that store. They should have them. If they can't, they can get them for you. It's the bayonet trap. And you just
I tried flooding them out with a hose.
Nah, they swim. The thing about it is that you walk the tunnel down and then watch which one pops up, and that's where you put the trap. Again, never handle the traps or anything with your bare hands. Always with gloves. Okay?
Well, thank you for your help.
Good luck with that. Joan in Walled Lake, Mark in Westland, and Renee in Sterling Heights, stay on the line. I may not get to you. I need to. I will talk to you off the air because probably I've got an email here that I really want to talk to. This is Deborah from Windsor, and she has a silver maple that she has an emotional attachment to. She grew it from a seed, and it's been there for 10 years. She did some pruning on it because of the damage, and one of the branches has not healed over. And its sap is running out. Now, a couple of things, Deborah. This may be entirely normal. I did some cutting on some of the trees, and with the weather we've been having, the sap is running, just like in the spring, and that pressure actually prevents the end of the cut edge from healing. The other thing is, if you didn't leave like an inch and a half to a 2-inch stub, sometimes there's a canker or a fungus that moves in, and the tree can't wall it off, so you may be dealing with that. The third thing is the bad part one, and this is a canker. And I want you to go, you heard about hugging plants. On my intro, we talk about hugging trees. I want you to go squeeze this one. Literally, I'd like you to take your thumbs around the trunk right below where that branch is bleeding and squeeze. If it's soft, it's probably a canker, and that's a fungal disease, and that's not good. I'm going to put on my website, thegardeningshow.com, some information about cankers. This tree is important to you, Deborah. You need to get an expert out there, somebody from Ag Canada, perhaps. They have gardening, master gardeners like we do here in the States, or a certified arborist. It's not cheap, but this tree has meaning to you. So I will put that information on cankers on my website, thegardeningshow.com. Oh, background music means I'm out of here for another week. Check out my website, thegardeningshow.com. Right about the middle of the week, we update it. We'll have information on cankers and lots of other things. And we'll get that podcast information up there. Sorry about that. It's a technical issue with me. And we'll get that fixed. I hope you have a fantastic week, and I'll be back right here at this station in a week. Have a great week.